So Father Murphy was in rare form one Sunday morning, and he told his congregation, "All of you who want to go to heaven, stand up." And the entire congregation immediately stood up. Then he said, "Very good, now sit down." And then he said, "All of you who want to go to hell, stand up." And one little fella in the back row named Riley stood up, and Father said, "What are you doing standing up, Riley?" He says, "Father, I just didn't like seeing you standing there all by yourself." So today's gospel is actually all about heaven and hell. It's about really how to get to heaven and what we should do to avoid being separated from God. And it's a parable the Lord told about a rich man and Lazarus. What's unique about this parable is that it's the only parable that the Lord gives us where he actually gives someone a name. Normally, the parables are all vague. You know, you talk about the Good Samaritan and other parables, but here he actually names the name of the poor beggar, and he calls him Lazarus. And I believe that is on purpose, because Jesus did have a friend named Lazarus. Martha and Mary had a brother named Lazarus. Lazarus was going to die. Jesus was going to raise him from the dead. And even though, you know, the religious leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees saw this man who had been dead raised from the dead, still, it says, they did not believe. They remained hard of heart. Many of them remained hard of heart even after they saw someone raised from the dead. Jesus himself would rise from the dead, and still, so many would not believe. They remained hard-hearted. When you look at this parable, so many interesting details. The Lord, first, it says he was addressing the Pharisees, and he describes a rich man. Notice the rich man does not have a name. It's the poor beggar that has the dignity of having the name. And this man, it says, dressed in purple garments and fine linen. And now we always have this reading during Lent. And when I look around, whenever I preach about this, I'm sadly the only one wearing purple garments and fine linen. So I'm very happy it's ordinary time and I get to wear green today. But this, the color purple was a very rare color from Asia. It was a very difficult color to get, very expensive. And of course, the fine linens, he had all the finest clothes. And it says he feasted every night. He didn't just feast once or twice a year, once or twice a month, or even once or twice a week. He feasted every day. And all the scraps that fell from his table, but he did not even give any of it to poor Lazarus at the gate. And the way the houses were designed, that, you know, Lazarus could sit at the door and he could look in to the open courtyard and look through and see this huge table of food and food falling to the ground, and yet he remained starving outside the gate. It says Lazarus was covered with sores, so he had lost his health. He obviously was alone. He had no family, no friends. So obviously he was in great distress and pain and loneliness. Even the dogs, it said, would come and lick his sores. These wild scavenger dogs were the ones that would roam the garbage heaps of Jerusalem. They were considered unclean. And so to have his sores licked by the dogs, was it showed just what a state he was in. The lowest possible, having lost his health, his wealth, his family, and lost his dignity. Here he was, a poor beggar, just longing to eat a scrap that fell from the rich man's table. But it says he never gave him anything. But look what happens next. It says they both die, and death will come to us all. They both die. The angels carry Lazarus to heaven to place him in the arms of Abraham. The rich man, it says, goes to hell, to the netherworld, where he's in torment. And now we have a reversal. You have before, you know, Lazarus was begging. Now we have the rich man begging for just a sip of water. And he looks up to heaven and he can see Lazarus, the former beggar, being embraced by Abraham. And he says, "Father Abraham, have pity on me. Notice he calls Abraham father. Three times he calls him Father Abraham. This is why we call priests father. You know, because we're spiritual fathers. Abraham was obviously not his physical father, but he was his spiritual father. So we as priests baptize souls and give them communion. We're the spiritual father of parish families. And so he calls out, Father Abraham, have pity on me. So he's begging now for just a drop of water to cool his tongue. But Abraham replies, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do. There's a great chasm to prevent people from going from one side to the other. And notice, now the rich man continues to beg. He now begs on behalf of his brothers. He has five brothers who were living a life just like he was. He says, please send Lazarus to go back from the dead and warn them not to wind up where I am. So again, he's now the beggar. But again, Abraham says, they have everything they need for salvation. They have the scriptures, they have Moses and the prophets, they know their faith. But the rich man says, that's not going to convince them. If somebody goes back from the dead, then they'll repent. And notice the wisdom of Abraham. He says, if they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, nor will they be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. And a man named Lazarus did rise from the dead. Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. And sadly, many of them did not convert. So when we look at today's gospel, we see there really are three beggars. You have the poor man, Lazarus, begging at the gate. Then you have the reversal. You have the rich man begging for water and begging for the salvation of his brothers. But the gospel really is about the Lord begging for our conversion. God himself is the one who begs for our repentance before it's too late. If you ever go to any of Mother Teresa's convents, over the crucifix, you'll see the words, I thirst. That's what Jesus said on the cross, I thirst. He didn't just thirst for water, he thirsts for our love. He thirsts for our affection. He thirsts for our discipleship. So Jesus is the one, in giving us this parable, is begging for us to repent while there is time. So what can we learn from the gospel? Well, death comes to us all, rich and poor alike. And immediately after death, we have an individual called the particular judgment, where we'll either go to heaven immediately, to hell immediately, or some will need to be purified in purgatory on their way to heaven. But we also know that we have the opportunity before we die to change our life. You know, Charles Dickens, The Christmas Carol, why is that so powerful? It's this story. You know, it's a chance of conversion before death. And Ebenezer Scrooge has that conversion of heart before his death. And we also have to notice here that it's not just the sins that we commit. Sometimes we're responsible for sins of omission. You know, it's sins of omission. Notice that the rich man never went up and beat up Lazarus. He never kicked him or treated him badly. He just ignored him. He just neglected him. And I was teaching a CCD class once, and I said, give me an example of a sin of omission, a sin that someone fails to do. And the kid said, I know one. A guy tries to rob a bank and he gets caught by the police. That's a sin he failed to do. I said, that's not exactly what I was getting at. But we should look at, in our life, you know, sins of omission. And we have to realize that we have everything necessary for salvation. We have our Lord Jesus Christ. We have divine revelation. We have scripture, the teachings of the church. But we have to be willing to also take care of the needy and the poor. And who are the Lazarus at the gate today? I remember a few years ago, they started an organization at George Mason called Lazarus at the Gate. I believe it has a different title now. But the idea was that in our society today, we have Lazarus. Maybe it's the person in the nursing home that we should go and visit. Maybe it's an elderly shut-in that we should go to see. Maybe it's somebody in the hospital that has requested our prayers or our visit. Maybe it's a prisoner that we should go to visit. Maybe it's an unborn baby that we need to help save. Or maybe it's a poor person that we can help out in different ways. Those are our modern Lazarus at the gate. Let me just end with a quote from John Paul II when he came to Yankee Stadium back in 1979. He talks about this particular passage. He says, "Was the rich man condemned because he had riches, because he abounded in earthly possessions, because he dressed in purple and linen and feasted sumptuously every day? No, I would say it was not for that reason. The rich man was condemned because he did not pay attention to the other man, because he failed to take notice of Lazarus, the person who sat at his door and who longed to eat the scraps from his table. Nowhere does Christ condemn the possession of earthly goods as such. Instead, he pronounces very harsh words against those who use their possessions in a selfish way, without paying attention to the needs of others." Isn't that a brilliant insight? It's not the wealth, it's not the riches, it was the selfishness, the total self-centeredness of the person, not being willing to help someone in need. And then he concludes, St. John Paul II says, "We cannot stand idly by, enjoying our own riches and freedom, if in any place the Lazarus of the 20th century stands at our doors. In the light of the parable of Christ, riches and freedom mean a special responsibility. Riches and freedom create a special obligation for us. And so, in the name of the solidarity that binds us all together in a common humanity, I again proclaim the dignity of every human person. The rich man and Lazarus are both human beings, both of them equally created in the image and likeness of God, both of them equally redeemed by Christ, and at a great price, the price of his precious blood."